beyond loving the song, I noticed that many a times when we listen to soul-lifting songs like this, you know, we get into the mood of worship, and some of us just enjoy the song, like I just enjoyed the song. But sometimes I think about it, especially certain songs that we sing, do we just listen to the song, sing along, you know, get spirit filled, and you know, that is it? Or even when we sing out these lyrics, do we take time to understand the lyrics of some of the songs? And that's the reason why I cropped out this particular part of this song, You Are God Alone. So the particular part that struck me, and I've always, you know, made me reflect, is the part where he said, or where he sang, in the good times and bad, You Are God Alone, You Are on the throne. So how many of us can genuinely say that even in the bad times, would be as happy to sing this song as we are as happy to sing it in the good time? Welcome to Random Thoughts with your baby girl Lara. So today, I will be talking about Beauty for Ashes. You already heard the song earlier that was inspired. I believe it was inspired by the help of the Holy Spirit, because it wasn't just me. So yes, I wrote down the lyrics of the previous song, the previous episode, but God helped me. So this is me reflecting on spiritual things going forward, because the spiritual controls the physical. I mean, before it happens in the physical, it happened. God has to ordain certain things to happen before it can happen. And you are going to remember that there's a God, regardless of how you want to say it, there is a God. So yeah, Beautiful Ashes. So I'm just saying that when we hear these songs, do we at times go back and meditate, and you know, or in between the songs we just pause and think about it? You know, how easy is it when you are going through challenges for you to go back to sing the song? Or are you selective even when you want to sing? You just want to sing. Are you selective of the song? Even when that challenge is there and you're trying to get past the challenge, you're trying to get past the challenge and still praise God and still hold on to your faith, are you selective of your song? Because, I mean, certain things will happen to you in life that, I mean, it's normal. It comes with the package of life. As long as you are living, it's like a contract that has already been signed already for you, that life has its challenges, and you've heard of life is not fair. So in that challenge that you faced, or the challenge that you're facing, I mean, did it shake you? Did it shake your faith to still sing along songs that when you listen to the lyrics, it hits you that okay, even in the good time, even the bad time, you are still good. Even after losing the job, even after losing that pregnancy, even after that child died, still bed, even after, you know, someone you really love died, even after accidents, is this something that would friendly or would flow out of your mouth easily than God is still God? Will it shake your feet or will it not shake your feet? So that is my question, because many a times I come across certain songs and I'm like, okay, like really, these lyrics, these words, I mean, it goes beyond just enjoying the song. You know, we should also take our time to, when you're praising God, it's just like when you're praising somebody, you know, at parties, you see the musicians praising somebody, hailing him that the man is a big man, the man is a good man. He's listening to the lyrics of the song. That's even what is even making him add more money. You know, he's happy. So when you're praising God, do you just praise God, you know, without exactly thinking about, like, your attention is not there, just singing for singing's sake, just with your righteousness? Or are you into the moment? That is my question. So I'm just saying that maybe we should take our time, or not maybe, we should flesh will just, cannot sustain you that long, even if you try to keep all the faith. So you still need God to help you, you still need the comfort of God. So as somebody is wondering, you said the spiritual controls the physical, so doesn't that mean that God was not aware? Of course God knows everything, but remember he said in his word that in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That is in John 16:33. So he has already overcome the world. He did not promise that there will be no enemies. He said that I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He did not promise that there will be no enemies. He did not promise that there will be no tribulation. He did not promise that there will be no challenges. Like I said, these challenges are part of life. They make us stronger. So he promised that he would be with us even in the storm. He would be with us even in the challenge. He would be with us. And if you notice, during the test, during the examination, the vigilator, the teacher is always quiet. It doesn't mean that because you're going through that test of faith, it doesn't mean that when you're going through that, that challenge, it doesn't mean that God is not there. The teacher, the vigilator is usually quiet in the class. So God has promised that he will be with us even in our challenges, no matter what we are facing. He is faithful. It can be difficult. I know for one that choosing to believe, even in the midst of pain, is hard. But what would you rather do? Because God can never lie. He will never lie. He's not a God that lies. Never, never. He has already said it in his word, in the Bible, the Holy Bible, that there will be trials. But he has promised. He never said there will be no trials. So that thing that you're going through, that pain, that heartbreak, that grief, loss. Even in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says that we do not grieve as those who do not have hope, that we don't grieve as those who don't have hope. So God would definitely be with you because he said that he will be with you in the storm. So don't grieve like those that do not have hope. Believe that in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Believe that that person is in a better place. Imagine it in positive light. The person has left this world of tribulation, this world of pain, and is with the Father. That person is rejoicing. So, and that person that you think that you've lost, rather, wouldn't want you, if you think about it really well, wouldn't want you to pause your life because of them. They wouldn't, of course, you would grieve, yes. You're paying respect to who you've lost, but don't let it overwhelm you, because that person wouldn't want you to put your life entirely on hold and just continue sulking and just continue crying. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So God loves you. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. He is super in love with you, and he is knocking. He's knocking at the door of your heart. He's gentle. He's a gentle man. He wouldn't force his way in. He's knocking at the door of your heart. If you'd only open that door, he would come in. He would be your Lord and Savior. All you just have to do is ask him to come into your heart. Because trust me, in as much as that pain is painful, in as much as that hurt is hurtful, in as much as that tribulation is terrible, at the end of the day, my dear, you need God. It is only God that can give you that peace that passes all understanding. It is only God that can give you his Holy Spirit that can comfort you. So remember, I said he did not promise there would be no challenges, because he said even in the storm he would be with you. He is there. He's there to comfort you. It's just like you being an earthly parent now. You have a child. You love that child so much. As you should. What you went through to have that child. You're taking care of the child, and then one day you're walking with the child. You're just strolling, and then something hits, the child's leg, and then it mistakenly falls down, or he trips off and he falls down. It doesn't mean that the fact that the child fell down, that the fact that the child is crying, doesn't mean that you are the cause of that trip. Doesn't mean that you hate your child. Doesn't mean that you are happy to see your child crying. child so much, and you have been very protective of the child, but then something happened and then the child is crying. Doesn't mean that you hate the child, doesn't mean that you caused that situation on the child, but what would you do? It is hurting you as to see that child cry. You're hurt to see that child cry. But then you quickly pick the child up and you quickly give the child proper care. You nurse the child back to recovery. How much more God? I mean, look at the flowers. Look at the lilies. See the way he pays attention to flowers. See how he decorated them. The trees. Nature. Look at nature, for instance. God is everywhere. See how he's very particular, how detailed he is in making nature so beautiful. How much more you? How much more you? So God loves you a whole lot, more than you can ever imagine. And that storm will pass. Think about, count your blessings. Think about all the things, all the challenges, all the things that could have, you know, that could have kept you on the ground. But yet you have been surviving. It is the grace of God. So why allow the devil trick you? Because that is all he does. He only tries. He can only try to manipulate the situation. He can only try to make you, you know, turn your back away from God, because he knows that God would always be there for you. He knows that God loves you. He knows that God wants to bless you. God wants to comfort you. But then he wants to turn you away from God. So he manipulates the situation. He tries to trick you, because the devil is a very lion. He's looking for whom to devour. He's looking for people that will join him in hellfire. He doesn't want to suffer there alone. So he wants to turn your mind to think that God doesn't love you. But look at Job. You think God did not love Job? I mean, if you read the Bible, you will see where the devil actually took permission from God, asking to test Job's faith in God. And God was so confident in Job. I hope we get to be, you know, that way with God. I hope we get to that level whereby God will be so proud of us and say, and tell the devil that I trust my child not to fall. And God gave him permission, but God told him not to take his life. So you think when Job was going through trials and temptation, you think that God wasn't there? God knew about it, and Job made God proud. He shamed the devil, and see how God blessed him. God blessed him more than he even had before. So I pray God grants us the grace, you know, to not crucify him over and over again, to not crucify him the second time. I pray God grants us the grace to turn our backs away from sin. I pray God permanently. I mean, it can only be with the help of God. I pray God grants us the grace to shame the devil and to make him proud. So my message to you is very simple. Beautiful ashes, no matter what you are faced, you've gone through, no matter what you're going through, do not let the devil shake your faith. It is very easy for him to manipulate situations, especially when we are down. And then there are a lot of distractions in the world right now that the devil, the quickest way the devil can get to anybody is your weak point. Whatever weak point that you, if it is anger, if it is adultery, fornication, masturbation, you would use that, because that is your weak point, something that you cannot easily, you know, refrain from. So let us be alert. Let us even be in line with God. Let us be close to God in the first place, so that when the devil is coming, like, put on the whole armor of God, like, be equipped with that armor, you know, be fully kitted in God, you know, so that when the devil comes, like, you would have been so equipped to fight him back. It will not be a weak point again. God would have been helped. God will be helping you, you know, so that when he comes, it will be easy for you to just resist him. And may God help us overcome our weaknesses in Jesus' name. Amen. So God will give you beauty for your ashes. God will give you beauty for your pain. God will give you beauty for that disappointment. God will give you beauty for that job loss. God will give you beauty for that heartbreak. I know it can be hard. I know what it means to lose somebody. I mean, I know what it is for faith to shake. I know what it means for thoughts to come to your head. I know what it means when you're just looking for that temporary circle, that temporary comfort, because you just want to forget the pain. And then that temporary, it's temporary because it is not from God. It is just what you're looking for, something outside of God to fill that vacuum. But that vacuum is only God that can fill it. He created you in the first place. Like, he knew you before you were born. He knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. So God doesn't hate you. He can never, he would never, he your son Jesus Christ to die for you. I mean, that's a lot. Love is sacrifice. And then Jesus paid the ultimate price. Jesus conquered death. Jesus conquered the devil. So, I mean, you are a winner. Christ in you is the hope of your glory. He that lives in you is greater than he that is in the world. So God already has cleared the way for you. God already has fought the battles for you. God already has made you a winner. God already has made you, giving you that sonship. You know, God already has given you that direct access to come to him. You're not having you're not going through somebody to get, you're not going through a priest or a man or killing things to get through to God. God already has given you that direct link to him through Jesus Christ, and he has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is an amazing friend. So, in conclusion, may God help us to make him proud. May God give us beauty, his beauty for ashes. His beauty for ashes. God said in Isaiah 61 verse 3 that he will give us beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. May God grant us his peace that passeth all understanding. And for anybody that wants to know God, you know, wants to know more, wants to have this peace that passeth all understanding, wants that comfort, wants that peace that only God can give, please just say a prayer. Anywhere you are, genuinely say that prayer. Be honest about it and ask Jesus to come into your life, and he will come into your life. Confess your sins and ask him to be your Lord and personal Savior. And trust me, your life will never remain the same again. It is the best that can ever happen to you. Trust me. And he has promised us eternal life with him. So, with God, you are good. There is always peace in God's camp. I mean, I say that to myself. God's camp is so peaceful. God's side is so peaceful. Honestly, you sleep well. He protects you. He's such a good, good father. He is the best. So why not join us? Why not give your life to, why not, you know, come to the embrace, loving embrace of the Father? Anyways, I leave you with the peace of God, and I pray that God blesses each and every one of you and blesses us and keeps us and keeps our faith, helps us to stay strong even until the last day.